straight, not just tell you straight out. In fact, I'll give you the title of my message today. Today, I'm preaching about the truth that nobody really wants to hear. So I'm just warning you right up front. This is a truth that no one wants to hear, but I believe that everybody, most everybody needs to hear. In particular, this is a message that is really, many of you that I know, you are struggling so much with hurts from your past. Somebody has hurt you. Somebody's wronged you. Maybe life has wronged you. Maybe it's the case that just through the events, look, this world is cursed by sin, and bad things happen all the time. And so that's kind of where we're headed with this. Last week I was talking about the fact that we all have something inside of us. We all have this big question mark inside of us. This innate, it's born with. I think God programmed us with this question that we need to know why we're here. What is my purpose? You know, I said on Wednesday night in our Bible study, you know, so oftentimes the world, really, I mean, both the Christian world and the non-Christian world, the believing, unbelieving, everybody wants to know how the universe started. Everybody wants to know, well, look, in fact, there are people that spend their whole lives pursuing that question, and it's not necessarily a bad question of how the universe started, but the truth of the matter is, you know, really, none of us really need to know how the universe started because we're not going to try to start another one, right? So we don't really need to know how the universe started or how the world began or how God created the world, but what we do need to know is why. We need to know why. Why did God create the world? And in particular, why did God create me? What is my purpose? Now, that's what we talked about last week, and what we saw was that innate, there's something in us that we have a need to know that. And so this question right here, this question of why? Why? This is not just a question that is regarding the origins of us or the origins of the world, but this is a question that probably is one of the most powerful adverbs in our lives on a regular basis. We often want to know why. You know, it can be both good and bad. Okay, so for example, if I walk up, Dwayne, and I walk up and I say, Dwayne, I have a gift for you. And I reach out and I try to hand him a gift. The first thing he wants, before he even cares about what's in the gift or what it's all about, what is his question? His question is, why? Why are you giving me that? We just have this innate sense that everything should have a reason. Now, it's particularly the case when bad things happen to us, when unexpected things happen to us. Now, if I walked up, instead of having a gift, if I walked up to Dwayne and I just smacked him across the face. Let's illustrate this, Dwayne. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't think they'll get it otherwise. No, if I did that to him before he even gets to the point where he's considering retaliation, before even that instinct kicks in, the first thing he wants to know, right, is why'd you do that? I could be a total stranger or somebody that you know, it doesn't matter. The first thing that comes to our minds is, why did you do that? Why did this person do that? And let's face it, so many are still questioning, why did my ex do this? Why does my child do this? Why did my boss do that? We have this desire to know why, when these unexpected things happen in our lives. You know, it's particularly true in our world right now as we are watching our world practically burn to the ground with violence. We read about these senseless shootings. We read about this, somebody walks into his place of business and he just opens fire. And before we even know the details, what is it that everybody wants to know? Why did he do that? Why did he do that? I'm going to tell you why he did it in just a minute. You know, we read about this, total strangers even. It doesn't even know somebody. Getting on a subway, taking out a knife and stabbing somebody. And we think, why? And we wonder, how can these monstrous people do some of these things to each other? Why do people do this? Well, actually, the answer to why people do it is actually very, very simple. But it's not very satisfying. I'll tell you why. Here's why people do. Here's why every time you have ever been wronged by somebody, every time somebody has treated you unjustly, every time somebody has hurt you, every time life has hurt you, mainly through some person, here's why. Number one, because that someone has a sin nature. And number two, they have a free will. That's the answer. That's why. Why does somebody hurt other people? Because we have a nature within us that is prone to sin. We got that from our great-great-great-grandfather, Adam, according to Romans 10:12, right? We know that we got that is passed on through our nature. We have a sin nature. We have the capability of doing terrible things. And may I say, please don't think you're exempt from that. Well, you're a quiet crowd this morning. And that's probably good. That's probably because there are many, that's where you've already gone back to something that you've been asking why about, which is good. We have a sin nature. We also have been given the opportunity to choose by our God. We got our sin nature from Adam. We've been given the opportunity to choose by our God. So the simple fact is, everything that happens bad in this world, everything that is ever done that is unfair, unjust, cruel, mean, hateful, even something that has been said about you on Facebook, why did that person do that? Why did my husband do this? Why do my children, why did my parents do this? All those questions to why, this is why, because we have a sin nature and we also have the ability to choose. But let's be honest. That doesn't satisfy us, does it? Come on. Right. So when you think about that person, when you think about that incident that hurts you so bad and you're still struggling with it, you're still dealing with this sense of, and maybe it's something that you're watching around the world and it just really affects you. You see what's happening to children. You see what's happening to women. You see what's happening in some group, some demographic, and you say, well, boy, why is that happening? That's why. It's because somewhere along the way, someone's sin nature rose up and they exercise their free will. They exercise their right to choose and act on that. That is why bad things happen all the time. So why is that so unsatisfying? I'll tell you why. Because that's not really the question we want to know. That's not really what we want. Because this is so simple. Yeah, I know now why this person did this to me. But that's not very satisfying, because what we really want to know as believers in God, what we want to know is, why did God allow it? Right? That's what we want to know. You say, well, I get, okay, so fine, I get this. I get that man who did this to me, that woman who, this, the person who did that, my boss did this, all these things we can fill in the blank with. I get that they have a sin nature, they have a free will, but what I don't get is, why would God let that happen? Why would God allow that to happen to me if he loves me? And that is a very valid question, and that is one that we're going to answer this morning. The answer to that is also fairly simple. It can also be very satisfying, but it can also be very painful. So let me share that with you. And I take you then for the answer to that to the book of James. The book of James. Before we get to this, I want to challenge everyone this morning. I want to challenge you this morning. If you're in that group, you've been wronged, you've been betrayed, you've been hurt, and it still is raw, it still is painful for you, whether it was by somebody or whether it was not even necessarily because of somebody. I'll get to that here in a little bit. But I want to challenge you this morning to consider this question: why did God allow it? Please know that I didn't say, why did God promote it? Because God does not promote evil. God does not condone evil. Hey, whatever happened to you, God didn't want it to happen. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God didn't make it happen. God didn't want it to happen. And frankly, God is angry that it did happen. I said, God is angry that it did happen. God does not like what happened to you. God feels the pain you feel just as much as you do. In all our afflictions, he is afflicted. That's what the Bible tells us. So please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God didn't want it to happen. God didn't cause it to happen. But he did allow it to happen. Why? And here we go. So the book of James. James is writing, and he tells us this right in the very beginning of the book, after verse number 1. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. King James, which is what I read from, says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into of diverse temptations. That means various trials, various heartaches, bad things. That's what he's talking about. Now, right off the bat, this is where many of you are saying, okay, wait, what? Count it all joy? I'm supposed to count it as a happy time that something terrible happened to me? How does that fit? First of all, notice he says when you fall into various times. Last time I checked, it's not very pleasurable most of the time when people fall to the person falling. Now, frankly, it's hilarious to the people who aren't falling. There are few things better than getting on YouTube and watching people fall. But as long as they don't get hurt too badly. But look, it's not very pleasant to fall. How's that joyful? And trials? Last time I checked, there's not very many trials you can go through that are pleasurable, that we see as a happy time. We don't see going through a trial, whether it's a legal trial, a medical trial, a friendship trial, maybe a family trial, whatever it is. Those are not things that we normally would think of are supposed to be joyful. So how in the world can God say to me that I should consider it to be a good thing, a happy time, when we fall into various trials? So he goes on. Notice the comma there. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith, or the trying of your faith, works patience. The trying of your faith. So now that clears it all up, right? Because we all love to have our patience tested. Right, moms?
Yeah.
Hey, moms. Your two-year-old, when your toddler is lying on the floor of Walmart screaming about you. You're hurting me. And the whole store's got their phone out. And so you're grabbing your little joy maker. And you're trying to get out of the store as fast as you can. Well, that's supposed to be the happiest time of your life, Brandy. It's a joyful time. Don't disobey the Bible, Brandy. It's a joyful time. Ask any mom. Ask any dad. Ask any grandparent. No, there's got to be more to this, right? We sort of know. There has to be more to this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's got to be something more. That word patience actually means steadfastness. That means you enduring, you sticking with it, you not bailing in the middle of the trial. So what is it that's really happening here? There must be more to it, and there is. And here we come to the primary verse of why God allows things to happen. James writes, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, or complete, lacking nothing. That you may be perfect and entire. King James says, wanting nothing. That means you are the object. So watch, here's where this gets really, really hard. This is where in my counseling, I do dozens of hours of counseling a week. When I share this truth that I'm about to share with you, this is where I lose a lot of people. Because would you notice, please, what God is saying there? He said, you're going through, I allow this trial into your life so that, notice, you might become perfect. God is saying, if you will allow this trial to do what I plan for it to do in your life. Again, God didn't cause it. Look, God didn't tell that man to abuse you. God didn't tell that boss to mistreat you. God does not want, look, God didn't want Pharaoh, you know, mistreating his people. And I'm sure there's times when it's all God can do to step back and restrain himself. I've often said the one thing that God has to work the hardest at probably is restraining himself, yes? God has to, it's got to be so difficult for God to not get involved, for God to not stop somebody from doing something terrible. God is not absent. He's not asleep. He's not dead. He's not looking the other way. He's not forgotten about you when something bad happened to you. He knows exactly what is happening to you, and on purpose, he's letting it happen because he wants to make you better. Now look, and I can tell you right now, across this room, there are a whole lot of really sincere people that are saying, you got to be kidding me. But you got to be kidding me. You're telling me that God, this terrible thing happened to me, and I'm the one God wants to change? Yeah. Yeah. But what about, don't worry about what about. Listen, God will deal with the person who hurt you. Amen? God will deal with the person who hurt you. God will deal with them. He wants them to change too. But what's hard for us to understand is, why did God allow this to happen? And then we hear it's because He thinks something needs to change in me. Because let's be honest, when something bad happens to all of us, something awful happens. Out of the blue, what is the first thing that, you know what, I hear this all the time and I understand it, and it's partially true, but it's kind of not true. Here's what we almost all say. After someone has done something terrible to us, we all say, but I didn't do anything wrong. What we mean to say is, I didn't do anything wrong in this instance. See, I just lost some more people right there. This is true, isn't it? See, God sees things differently than we do. God, we are so confined in the bubble of our hurts. We see only that instance, what this person did to me. God sees a much bigger picture. What God sees is a bigger picture of what He wants to do in our lives. He also sees the bigger picture of our lives. The fact of the matter is, every time I have ever said, I didn't do anything wrong, I lied. Because let's face it, is there anybody here, you've never done anything wrong? Okay, well, you're going to leave me up here all alone, Herman? I stayed up here with you on Wednesday when you sang. And you're going to leave me alone up here. Listen, what we mean to say is, I didn't do anything in this case, maybe to this person, to deserve this. And that may very well be true. But we also need to recognize the fact that we do have flaws in our life. And God may not, they may not be tied to what this particular incident, the way it happened. But God says, but you still do need to change in some areas. I want to make you more like me. I want to make you more like me. And so God will use this instance. But if we try to tie changing, it sounds like we're saying, it sounds like, and I get this from people when I say this, when I share this truth, and they look at me and they say, so you're saying it's my fault? No, I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm saying that, and they say, well, why did this person do this to me? This is what people ask. Why did this person do this? Well, I already told you why this person did this to you. Because they have a sin nature and because they have free will. What you want to know is, why did God allow it? And the reason God allows it is because He wants to somehow, some way, use this bad experience to make you more like Him. Do you know you can't be like Jesus if you don't have scars? Come on. You can't be like Jesus if you don't have scars. You can't be like Jesus if you've never been betrayed. You can't be like Jesus if you've never been unfairly accused. You can't be like Jesus if you haven't had people abuse you, mistreat you, treat you terribly. I mean, of all the people who ever walked the earth, Jesus is the only one who could truly say, I've never done anything wrong. Right? And yet, all those things happen to him. And so, God says, look, I want you to be like me. I want you to become more like me. I want you to love more like I love. I want you to forgive like I forgive. I want you to feel like I feel. I want you to care for others the way I care for others. And the only way you can do that is if you share some of the same experiences that I have shared. So if these things never happen to you, then you can never really be like Jesus. That's why He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when you fall into various trials. He said, because this is an opportunity for God to do something for you. You know, as we did tell you up front that this is the truth nobody wants to hear, right? I said that, right? Because we don't. See, we don't want it turned back on us. We want to wallow sometimes. I'm not sure where that word came from, wallow. Aren't there, is that what pigs do? Do pigs wallow? Probably not the best, you know. Yeah, we want to just sort of roll around in our own misery. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever known somebody that absolutely, totally justified in being hurt? Hurt beyond anything that you can imagine somebody doing to that person. But at the same time, that person never really wants to move forward. It's very sad, isn't it? I want to tell you today how to move forward. We're going to see, God is going to show us today, how do I move forward? How do I do that? We have to first understand. We have to stop asking the question, why did this person do this to me? Let me just be real frank. I am currently counseling 7 couples where infidelity has come into their marriage. 2 of them aren't even part of our, in fact, 2 of them are ministry leaders of other churches that have come to me because they can't really deal with it where they are. And that's very sad, by the way. Hey, that's very sad, by the way. I would hope that if I ever have something so serious in my life, some failure on my part, that I could come and be honest with my church, and I think I can. But it's sad. It's not always the case. But I'm trying to help them. And others are part of our church, some that aren't. Here's the thing. Every single time when I'm counseling couples on this particular issue, and it doesn't matter if it's infidelity, it could be a parent and child thing, it could be a boss and your employee thing, it's all the same. But here's what always happens. I come and I meet with these couples, and the spouse, the offended spouse, always says, I need to know why she did this. I need to know why he did that. Well, that answer we've already discussed is pretty simple. Well, he did it because he has a sin nature and a free will. She did it because she has a sin nature and a free will. What they really want to know is, okay, but how could God allow that to happen? Hey, for some of you, sadly, it breaks my heart because I know you. I know your story. Your story is, how could God let this happen again? How could God let this happen again? And the answer to that is, when I teach this truth, they look at me like, seriously? You're saying that God let my spouse or my boyfriend or my girlfriend do this because God wants to change something in me? God didn't author it. God didn't promote it. God didn't want them to do that. But because of their sin nature and free will, they did it. God allowed it because he does want something to change in you. And every single time, listen, I promise you this is true, and I say this to every single couple that I'm counseling about in this kind of a situation, they will either become better than they ever were, or they will probably break up. Thankfully, most of the time, they become better than they ever were. That is the experience. Now, here's the thing, and here's how. And it all comes down to the offended spouse. It comes down to the offended spouse. It comes down to the offended child. It comes down to the offended coworker. It comes down to the offended friend. Whatever your situation is, it comes down to this. That offended spouse, the one who was wronged, the one who was betrayed, the one who was treated so badly, when they can accept God's answer, where they can accept and say, okay, God, you let this happen in my life, so I will let you change what you want to change. That is how they go forward. That is how they go forward. Let's continue with our scripture here. Say, well, what is it that I'm supposed to do? Well, look at verse number 5. You see, because here's the real question that we need to be asking. The real question is not, why did this person hurt me? Why did this thing happen? The real question really isn't even, why did God allow it? He's saying, here's what I want you to do. Here's the prayer I really want you to pray. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Here's what God is saying. God is saying, look, you don't understand what needs to change in you, but I do. You don't know how I want you to grow through this, but I do. You've got to trust me that there is something really, really good that can come out of this really, really awful thing that's been done to you. That's hard for a lot of us to accept. That's hard for a lot of people to accept. But that is what God is telling us. God is saying, look, if you will ask, so here's the question we ought to be asking. God, what do you want me to learn? God, what do you want me to learn? How do you want me to grow to be more like you because of what has happened to me? You know, God is not going to reverse time and make the thing unhappen. And yes, he allowed it to happen. Why did God allow it to happen in the first place? Well, the part of that is God is not a dictator. God is not this ogre up in heaven who controls all of us, right? Right? God gives you freedom to choose and you freedom to do some things you shouldn't do, me freedom to choose some things to do I shouldn't do. He has to do that for everybody, to be fair. But the reason that he allows also according to this scripture is because he wants us to come to the place where we ask this question. We say, God, how is it that I can become better through this? Now, do you know what a hard thing, hard prayer that is for somebody to pray? I mean, come on. That may be one of the hardest prayers that God has ever asked you to pray. And please know, by praying this, by acknowledging that God has a reason for allowing it to happen that will make you better, that does not absolve the person who hurt you in any way, shape, or form from their guilt. Please know that. It is not saying like it's not you saying it never happened. It's not you saying, hey, this, God's just going to let them up. That's not that at all. They are still guilty no matter what happens with you. What God is saying to you is, you worrying about what happens to them is never going to help you become better. But you letting me work in you, let me work in your heart. Young lady, let me heal you. That's what he's saying. Let me work inside of you and something good will come out of this. You will become a better person because you are more like me now. Do you want to be more like Jesus? It's a reflective question. Do you want to be more like Jesus? You know, you can't become more like Jesus by simply memorizing more Bible verses. Come on. Memorizing more Bible verses makes you know more Bible verses. It's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Look, spending more time in prayer is good. But let's face it. If we want to be more like Jesus, then we have to follow what he's saying here. We have to count it all joy when we fall into some really, really bad trial. Something bad happened. Somebody really bad did something bad to me. Or maybe life did something. It's very, very hard when it comes to life just doing that, when there's not a person involved. Look, I talked about Cassie earlier. I can't help but think about all the mothers and the grandparents in here, the moms, the dads, the grandparents who have lost a child. That is one of those things where we sit and we really say, God, how could you let this happen? God, how could you stand by and let this child suffer? God didn't cause it. He didn't want it. God hurt as bad as everybody else did. But it did happen as a result of the fact that we have corrupted this world. We've corrupted our DNA. Sickness and illness and accidents and things like that, they happen all the time, yes? God can't stop. God, well, he could stop them all, but he's not going to stop them all. And what he's saying is, these things happen in life, but I want to make you better because of it. I want to help you. Let me tell you something. Cassie is becoming a better person because of that tragedy in her life. Now, how about you? How about you? How about me? Think back to that time when something so bad happened. What we ought to be asking God is, what we ought to be asking is not, why did this happen? Well, we know why it happened. A coroner's report will tell us why it happened. Why did God allow it? Because he wants to make someone better. Someone more like him. Why did God let that thing happen to you? Because he wants to make you better. More like him. This is the prayer that ought to be asked today by so many who are feeling the pain of betrayal, abuse, neglect, unfairness, injustice, you name it, you fill it in as it works in your life. So finally, though, God gives us a warning because he is wanting to help us. He gives us a warning, and I see this played out in the counseling that I do, and then I'm done. Please notice in verse 6, he said, but. He said, if you're going to pray that, you've got to ask for that wisdom in faith. Ask why, what God wants to do in you. Nothing wavering. In other words, he said, look, when I tell you why I've allowed this to come into your life, you are confronted with a choice. Yes? Accept it and say, yes, God, I accept this. I realize that you are working in my life. I don't like it. You don't like it, but this is what happened. So yes, God, I want you to make something good come of this. Or we reject it. And when we reject it, this is the description of what happens to somebody who does not embrace what God is trying to do by allowing a trial into our lives. He said, you're like the waves of the sea. You're just driven by the wind. This is why so many people, I'm okay today. I'm not okay tomorrow. Well, you know, I think I'm good now. Oh, I guess I'm not good. And they go back and forth. This is reality, right, guys? Right, folks? You know people like this? Is this the way I live my life? Is it the way you live your life? This is what we need to ask ourselves. He said, you've got to be all in. You've got to accept what God says here. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And lastly, he says this, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. God's not mad. He's just simply saying, if you don't accept this as the reason for the trial in your life, then there's nothing good going to come of it. Isn't it a terrible, terrible waste, a sadness, a tragedy, if something so bad is going to come into our lives and we don't let God make something good come of it? We don't let God have his perfect work in our lives and we become more like him? Because let's face it, if we're not becoming more like him, then we're becoming more like us. And that never works out well for anybody. Can I encourage you this morning, and I'm done. Would you use this time? Look, if you're hurting today, and I know all over this room, there are so many who have been hurt. You've been wrongly treated. You've been unjustly treated at work, by your family, by your spouse, by your boyfriend, by your girlfriend, by whoever it is, whatever the situation is. Somebody has wronged you. Would you seek that wisdom from God this morning and say, God, I don't like it, but if that is why you allowed that to happen in my life, then I certainly want you to show me what it is you want to do inside of me to make me more like you.